Good morning, my friends, and happy Easter. Yes, we are still in the Easter season. Easter is not just one day, it is a season. And so it is a joy to be in the house of God together with you and celebrate the good news of Easter together. I'm especially happy to welcome you if you're visiting with us this morning. We are glad that you're here and hope that you have an opportunity to meet some of the friends sitting around you this morning during the passing of the peace and especially after the service. If you are visiting with us and are looking for a place perhaps to call your church home, we would love for you to come downstairs in the McWhorter Hall, it's called, just below the sanctuary at 9:45. Aaron Racine will be leading a class called Starting Point. It's a one-time class just to learn a little bit more about our congregation, about the United Methodist Church, and we'd love for you to come and join us downstairs. As always, we sign in every Sunday. There are registration pads at the end of each row, and we hope that those are making their way down and that you're letting us know that you were here. And if you are visiting with us and would be willing to share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us an opportunity to be in touch with you and let you know some of the ways we are trying to live out God's love and be Christ's light in our world. I wanted to highlight an event that's coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, April 21st. There is a workshop here with Dana Trent, who has written a book, a really good book that I have read, called For Sabbath's Sake. And it's a short workshop on Saturday morning that would invite us all to consider how better to practice Sabbath in our own lives. And she is a fabulous teacher, and we'd love for you to sign up. The details should be in your insert this morning. Finally, I just want to celebrate the way that Christ's light shined through this congregation yesterday. We had about 100 people sign up for the great day of service. Because of the weather, there were a couple of projects we weren't able to do, but the folks who had signed up for those were sent out to other places, and it was just a wonderful day of service and ministry, and I appreciate all those who participated and all those who prayed for that work, and we'll just be ready to do it again next year. And a big thanks to Lisa Guak and the Outreach Committee for getting that organized. It was a wonderful day. On this first Sunday after Easter, we are going to be exploring a little bit in the book of Acts, getting a glimpse of that very first church and how those early believers came together through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that that vision of the church can inspire us as we live into being the church in the 21st century today. So let us open our hearts and minds and continue our worship together.
Thank you. This is the good news we proclaim to you. Walk in the light of His love.
Live in the light of His teachings and healing mercies.
Come, let us worship the one who overcame death.
Let us celebrate the triumph of our Lord. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live at peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. About a month ago, I was sitting in the waiting room of the dentist's office, and I saw they had a copy of Real Simple magazine. I used to have a subscription to Real Simple. I don't know if any of you get that magazine, but I realized that month after month, as I looked at Real Simple, it just made me feel bad about how unorganized my life is. And it made me feel like I just needed more plastic bins. So I let go of the subscription. Somebody up there identifies with me. But if I'm ever in a dentist's office or at an airport and I see a copy of Real Simple, I like to look at it. It does make me feel like there's hope that our lives could be a little more organized than they are. One of the techniques they use a lot in Real Simple is the before and after picture. You know, they'll have a before picture of someone's laundry room that's all a mess and everything, the kids' shoes everywhere and backpacks and all that, and then after the experts come in with their plastic bins provided by the Container Store, Everything is all organized and beautiful, and it's totally transformed. A lot of advertisers use that technique, you know, the before and after picture. The before, the person started using the whitening toothpaste, and then after, they've been using it for a while. Before, the table was cleaned with Pledge furniture polish, and now after. That little pattern of before and after images came to my mind, strangely enough, as I was reading these verses from the fourth chapter of Acts. Here we have this portrait of the very first church, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, who had gathered in Jerusalem, and it's an amazing image that we have. They all shared all their possessions together. There was not a needy person among them. They were all of one heart and soul. Who are these people? Do you remember what they were like before? The before picture would be what we see in the Gospels. In all four Gospels, the disciples, especially the 12, but other followers of Jesus, just don't get it. And here they are, early in the book of Acts, and they're totally transformed. They are all of one heart and one soul, and so trustful of each other that they share all of their possessions and they're taking care of all the needs they see around them. What happened? Well, on May 20th, we're going to look at what happened. We're going to look at the story of that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit filled all of them. We're going to see how the power of the resurrection transformed who they were and how they lived and moved in the world. But for the next few weeks, I just want to spend some time looking at this before and after, looking at the contrast between who they were before the resurrection and who they became afterwards. So we know that whoever wrote, well, the Gospel of Luke was probably written by someone named Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. So as we talk about the book of Acts, I'll be talking about Luke as the writer of Acts. And what Luke tells us about this very early church was that they were of one heart and soul. That's the after picture. They were united in love. Well, you remember what they were like before, right? You remember how the disciples used to argue with each other about who was the greatest? You remember that time that the mother of James and John asked Jesus if one of her sons could sit next to him in his kingdom on his right hand? And the other disciples got all mad at them, and they got in this big argument. Even at the table of the Last Supper, they were arguing about this kind of stuff. But now, they are of one heart and one soul. Luke tells us that they shared all of their possessions, and there was not a needy person among them. Do you remember how they behaved at times toward the needy? You remember that time that the blind beggar was calling out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the disciples were like, "Be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. We don't want to hear from you." They didn't want to deal with that man's need. But of course, Jesus went to the man and healed him anyway. Or the time when all of those parents were bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus and the disciples tried to send them away and hush them up. They didn't want to deal with the needs of those parents. But Jesus blessed the children and said, "Do not stop them. Let them come to me." Or that time on the hillside when Jesus was preaching to thousands of people and the sun was setting and the disciples knew that this crowd was going to get hungry, and they said, "Send them away. Send them back home. We can't feed all these people. We don't want to deal with their needs." But of course, Jesus provided for their needs and said, "You give them something to eat." In the before picture, the disciples were not always interested in meeting other people's needs. But now, after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, there is not a needy person among them. Can you imagine that? Luke tells us also that in this early church, great grace was upon them all. We know that they were a group that needed grace. We talked about this during Holy Week and even on Easter Sunday, how the closest group of Jesus' followers failed him, denied him, deserted him. Even in Mark's account of the gospel, the women who came to the empty tomb failed to tell anybody, at least at first. They were people who had failed. And yet, the risen Christ appeared to them. And the first thing he said to them, according to John's gospel, is, "Peace be with you." He forgave them. He offered them his peace. He filled them with his Spirit, and he sent them out in his name. They had received complete grace. And because of that, they bore that grace out into the world. And people who had never heard of Jesus could look at those early followers and say, "See how they love one another. Behold the grace of that congregation of people." So what we have here is this beautiful picture of the birth of the church. What happened in those first days when the Holy Spirit filled everyone and the church was formed? But you know, it didn't last. That particular manifestation of the church didn't last very long. The whole sharing of all their possessions and being of one heart and soul. In the very next chapter, there is a couple that sells a piece of property and they bring some of the proceeds to the church, but not all of them. They lie, and they come to a bad end. In the sixth chapter, there are groups within the church that start arguing with each other because one group says, "Our widows are not being given as much as your widows are. The resources aren't being distributed fairly," and they get into a dispute about that. It gets resolved. But we know as we read the letters of Paul and we see how the church grows that there continue to be problems and struggles and disagreements and splits. It's part of what it means to be human beings and trying to live this out. And it's easy to look at all of that and say, well, that fourth chapter of Acts is just a pipe dream. We need to just let that be this beautiful utopia. But getting on with the real stuff of church has nothing to do with that. It's tempting to say that. But I think we're given this glimpse of this first burst of the church as a hopeful vision to call us forward. I think it is something we always should be growing toward and opening ourselves to see that it is possible for the people of God to be of one heart and one soul. John Wesley thought so. He asked the question, "Even if we are not of one mind, may we not be of one heart? Is it possible, even if we might disagree on political issues or how to structure the church or what the color of the carpet might be, even if we have disagreements amongst ourselves, is it possible that we might still be united in Christ's love?" Our denomination is struggling with that right now. Congregations struggle with it all the time. And it's easy to say, no, it's not possible. But the fourth chapter of Acts shows us it is. These were human beings, and yet they were of one heart and one soul in that very first church. We know it's not possible to meet everybody's needs, right? There was not a needy person among them. How is that possible? But is that not an invitation to us in the church today to give it a try? To come into the congregation of God willing to express and name our own needs? And willing and compassionate toward the needs of others, whether they be financial or emotional or relational? Shouldn't the people of God do our best to meet one another's needs and the needs of those around us? Those first disciples in the very first church lived it out. And I think we can too. We can move toward it. And great grace was upon them all. Is it possible for us in the church today to be so grounded in how much we have been forgiven, how much grace we have received, that it frees us from being judgmental and passing judgment on everybody else? Is it possible for us to be a congregation of gathered disciples that the world can look in on us and say, see how they love one another? Look at how grace flows through them. Look at how much they have compassion and love toward all people. It's not a pipe dream. It is a vision. It's not real simple. And it's not something that we can just call some experts in and then be changed overnight. It's not even something that we can manage to accomplish on our own. If we just try hard enough, we can meet everybody's needs. If we just try hard enough, we can be of one heart. It doesn't work like that. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only the power of resurrection can transform the church like that. And so the invitation, I think, for us is to be people of prayer and to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And never say to the Spirit, that's just a pipe dream. But to live in hope and expectation that we might be the manifestation of resurrection hope here and now. Easter people. Amen.
We lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation and offer it to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share, please fill out the gray card in the pew rack in front of you and put that in the offering plate in a few moments. Please let us know if you'd like to keep it confidential or share it with the entire congregation. We have two roses on the communion table this morning. We celebrate the birth of Vivian Ray Harden, who was born March 13th to Janet and Matt Harden. She is welcomed also by her siblings, Henry and Grace Harden. And also Isla Wren Kathleen Darling was born March the 18th to Ashley and Scott Darling. We're mourning with three families this morning. Weston Congregational Care intern Anita Peebles and her family are mourning the death of her grandfather, Hugh Irvin Wilcoxon, who died March the 27th in Farmington, Illinois. And Aaron Olson and his family are mourning the death of his grandfather, Robert Olson, who died March the 28th in Oaks, North Dakota. Services were held there on Friday, April the 6th. And Kathy and Eva Whalen and their family are mourning the death of Kathy's brother, Sean Michael Whalen, who died March the 31st in Cary, North Carolina. Service wars were held in Apex, North Carolina on Saturday, April the 17th. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. As early followers of Jesus gathered for fellowship and worship, praying and singing and reading the scriptures, so we gather now to pray. As we read in Acts that the whole group of those who believe were of one heart and soul, draw us to your heart so that we too may be one in your spirit. They shared everything, everything they owned, everything they had. Enlarge our hearts, that our hearts may be big enough to receive the greatness of your love. Stretch our hearts, that we may share that love with all those who need it. Move from our hearts into our minds and hands and feet, so that we may notice where there is not enough and share what we have. God, your grace was at work in them, powerfully at work within them all, that there was not a needy person among them. May it be so for us as well. Amen. God has graciously given us all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and offerings.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now let us join our voices together as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we gather at the table, the kingdom of God emerges among us, and we see the vision of who we are called to be. This is a table where all are welcome. If you are here, you have a place at this table. Everyone, even who is not here, has a place at this table. So we hope that you will come as you feel led. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, we will be led by our ushers. Our choir will be served first, followed by our friends in the balcony, and then those in the transepts, and then all sitting in the main part of the nave will follow that. You come forward, and those who are serving you, if you will have your hands open, they'll know that you have not yet been served, and they will serve you at the altar rails as you kneel. If you have a need for gluten-free bread, Emily will be serving that, and you can let her know that you need gluten-free bread. If you need assistance in your pew and are not able to make your way forward, just let us know. Lisa and I will be making our way around the sanctuary. And as always, we have an opportunity to make a gift to the missions of the congregation. Our offering plates are set up front, and this month's communion offering goes to Community Care Fellowship, which is a full-service day shelter for our friends who are homeless in our city. They also offer after-school programs for children who live in James Casey homes. So we hope if you feel led, you will share your gifts and your prayers with that important ministry. The table is set before us. Jesus Christ is our hope. Please come. All things are ready. I invite you to remain seated as we pray together a prayer of thanksgiving for what we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. I would invite those of you who are here this morning who are going on the Guatemala mission team to come forward. We have some folks who are here at this service, others who will be at the 11 o'clock service, but we want to take a moment to pray for you and to commission you to go in Christ's name and on behalf of our congregation. The names of the full team are printed in your bulletin, and I would invite you to take your bulletin home with you and pray for these friends by name for the next couple of weeks as they prepare to go and serve Christ. Would you mind kneeling at the rails and let us take a moment to pray for you? Gracious God, your Holy Spirit sent your faithful disciples out into the world. The power and the compassion and love of the resurrection filled them, and they went with great grace to share it with the world. We pray for these friends who go out from this community to a new place, who go in your name, who go in faith. May your Holy Spirit fill them. And may they meet Christ in those whom they encounter. May the work of resurrection be done, and may they receive and carry your grace. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Be sure and bless them if you see them this morning before they leave. And now I invite you to stand as you're able and let us sing our closing hymn together. Christ is alive. May the power of the resurrection animate us all, sending us out into the world with great grace, great compassion, and great love. And may you go in that peace. Amen.